Here are two new ways to stay connected to issues, etc. Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
I know I have bitterly disappointed all of you. I'm embarrassed that I have put you in this position. For all that I have done, I am so sorry. I have a lot to atone for.
Faith does one's own religion, but must respect all major world religious traditions.
Islam is and must be an important part of the solution in confronting violent extremism.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, in terms of immediate impact on the most amount of people, this miracle has to be the biggest one Jesus did. It certainly isn't the biggest in terms of its long-term impact on the most amount of people, but feeding 5,000 people in an afternoon is pretty remarkable, and he did it with not enough food to feed practically one person. The feeding of the 5,000 stands out as a turning point in some gospel accounts, and Jesus seems to vest it with an awful lot of importance beyond simply everyone was hungry, everyone was fed, everyone went away satisfied. What does the feeding of the 5,000 tell us about who Jesus is and what he has come to do? He's not a bread king. We know that much. So what and who is he? We're going to be talking about the feeding of the 5,000. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us here in the first half hour of this Monday afternoon's Issues, Etc. It's March the 1st. We are coming to you live. You can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Now, in a half hour, I want your answer to this question. There's a story about a church that, like so many, is running a sermon series on sex. That's nothing remarkable. But this church is also running in rotation out on its lighted marquee on a major street across the street from an elementary school, the phrase desperate sex lives and sex lives. And some of the neighbors are just frankly upset about it. Would you be too if your congregation was doing a sermon series on sex, as so many seem to be doing, and they decided to put desperate sex lives and sex lives out on the marquee, running in rotation all day, all night, across the street from an elementary school? How would you react? I want you to answer those questions and more in a half-hour audio open lines. By the way, if you want to see that story, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We have the video there for you to watch. You can watch it, and then in a half-hour, get ready to call or email us with your reaction. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be spending some time with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Over the weekend, Muslims celebrated the birthday of Muhammad. We'll do a brief biography of the man that so many in Islam revere. Then Ken Samples will join us. We'll begin a three-part daily series on answering tough questions about the Christian faith today, questions about the existence of God. Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe in the last half hour or so of Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. It's great to be back. How are you today?
Very well, and you?
I'm doing great. Wish the sun were here like it was yesterday, but we'll take the day as it is.
On the afternoon where Jesus encounters these 5,000, they're there to be taught, but they end up being fed, literally fed, with very little food from Jesus' hand. What does this miracle in particular say about who Jesus is and what he's come to do?
Well, there is so much packed into this 14 verses in the 6th chapter of John, and it's more than somebody who comes as a miracle worker and who feeds hungry people. This, like everything else that we've seen in this Epiphany journey, and now as we've crossed into Lent with Jesus, these are signs that point to who he really is for these people. Not just a great miracle worker, not a bread king, as you said, not just a great teacher, but he is the promised Son of God, the very bread of life. And that's going to come out in this, and we're going to see some wonderful parallels and connections to other Bible occurrences, Bible stories, and Bible texts that kind of make this all very clear and peel back the layers of what seems like a very basic miracle story about Jesus with his disciples and a crowd of people. We're going to go deeper, I think. We have to, and to see that he is the bread of life for us.
This is in the standard repertoire of Sunday school stories. Nary a child could spend any time in Sunday school, even if they only attended occasionally, without hearing this story. But what's missing from most Sunday school treatments of the feeding of the 5,000?
That's a wonderful question, and it's something that really every teacher ought to be thinking about and in their preparations, getting to what's normally missed, getting beyond the basic facts that here you have Jesus with his disciples and the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, all those wonderful little things that most children, like you say, could recite without having to look it up again. But to see what Jesus is really doing here and what he's not doing and what he is trying to convey. And it's why we teach these stories, we teach the details, and then we get to the theology behind them. We're going to connect back to a story that these children have learned in the Old Testament, back to Moses and to the great feeding of the hungry children of Israel in the desert and how God provided then, and see how that parallels with this text. And those are the things that make a difference in Sunday school when our teachers are rich in the Word and can make those connections and point children back and forward to Christ on the cross, and where they can see that all of this is about that. And on its own, it's a cool miracle, and people went home with a warm feeling in their tummy, but without Christ and who he really is and who and what he really came to do, this was a momentary miracle that mattered not in eternity. But really, it points them to all that he's come to do for them and for us.
This is kind of the high moment and the low moment all in one afternoon for Jesus. Tell us about that.
Well, he's there. He's been out with people, and he's now going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the text says, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And this is something for teachers to note, because we hear these different names for this sea, and it's the same sea. And it just depends on where you're standing around this sea as to the name of it. So here he is at the Sea of Galilee, and there's a large crowd following him because they've seen the signs that he's doing on the sick. They've heard about it. They've come to see. They've experienced it. And Jesus goes up on a mountain. It doesn't really say which mountain or which hill that he might have gone up to, but he sat down. And it's at the time of the Passover, and that's significant, I think, here. And he lifts up his eyes, and he sees this crowd. And he asks this question to Philip: What are we going to buy bread with? How can we feed these people? He looks to Philip. It's really a test to him. And Jesus has a plan, but he wants to see what Philip is going to answer. And Philip's is 200 denarii, which is about the amount of half a year's wages for the typical person in that day. Philip says 200 denarii, a half year's wages, would not buy enough bread for even each of these people to even have a little bit. And then Andrew says, well, there's a boy here, you know, and there's that fact we all know, the boy with his two fish and his loaves of bread, barley bread. And Jesus simply says, you know, have the people sit down. And the text notes, and it's a wonderful thing, that there was much grass in the place. And you take that and connect it to that. The text also notes it's the time of the Passover, and we know that it's spring, and that the ground is watered and lush, and there's grass for the people to pasture in, to sit in. He takes the loaves, he gives thanks, gives them to the people seated, and, you know, we know the rest of the story. There's so much left that he instructs them to gather it up, put it in 12 baskets. It fills those baskets, and then the people say, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. And that's a connection that they're making based on what they have grown up learning about God and his word.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House, talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Our weekly conversations with Pam are based upon Concordia Publishing House's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can get a free sample of Growing in Christ, free samples, in fact, by giving them a call toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. And check out more about Growing in Christ at issuesetc.org. Click on the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. When we come back, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus begins to teach the people what it was about, what he was really doing there, what he's really about to do, and they go from 5,000 down to 12 real fast. We'll find out why. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. There's a church that, like so many, is running a sermon series on sex, but they're also running in pretty high rotation out on their lighted marquee on a major road across from an elementary school, the slogans Desperate Sex Lives and Sex Lives. And the neighbors don't find it that appealing.
parents at the school are a little concerned that their kids get out of school and get to see this as they're driving home or walking home from school. If your church did this, how would you react? In 10 minutes, audio open lines for your answers to the questions. How would you react if your church were doing this? Do you think it makes a difference that it's in the neighborhood with an elementary school? The pastor says they're running the sermon series on sex because the church hasn't talked about sex enough. Do you agree or disagree? 1-877-623-6943. Audio open lines in about 10 minutes. 1-877-623-MYIE. You can watch the story at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesETC, and then get ready to call for audio open lines, 1-877-623-MYIE. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Afterwards, Jesus is teaching the crowds, and they find what he has to say, especially John's account of this, John chapter 6, very unpalatable. He seems to be confusing them at the least and offending them at the worst. Talk about that.
Well, that's true. Our story really deals just with this this miracle, feeding the 5,000. But in this sixth chapter, we get the Jesus walking on water, and then you get the wonderful section where he explains that he's the bread of life, which is certainly a connection here, and then he talks about the words of eternal life, so that at the end of chapter 6, it says, or Jesus ends up saying in verse 65, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." And the very next verse says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." And it really is that they were looking for this earthly king, this earthly prophet, a miracle worker, somebody who could take care of their immediate needs. And they weren't making the connection that they needed to, that he was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. They weren't making the eternal connection or didn't want to make it. They were looking for an earthly king, an earthly savior to deal with the problems of the day. And they did not want to entertain these other things that Jesus was trying to point them to. And all along, we see in all of these miracles, all of these events, that Jesus is wanting them to not be the thing, but to open people's eyes to who he is and to the real power that he has, so much greater than feeding hungry people or giving sight to the blind, but the power to forgive sins, the power to make people right with God again. And that's the greater thing, but they're not quite ready for it, for that.
You emphasize the difference between simply witnessing a miraculous sign like this and actually hearing and trusting Jesus' word. Why is that so important for understanding this story?
Well, it's important for all of these things, but to hear his word, to understand it and to trust it, and to when you see that Jesus can feed the hungry and can take care of daily things, and you hear him preaching and teaching about the eternal things that he can do, the reality of that miracle that hungry people were fed ought to underscore the reality that when he says your sins are forgiven, they really are. When he says you are my child, you really are. When he says because of my death on the cross, you will live forever in heaven with me, you really will. These miracle stories underscore all that and help us to understand and see and know that he is the Savior. But here in this story, they're maybe seeing this prophet, and they refer to that, the promised prophet, a new Moses. And indeed, Jesus was a new Moses. He goes up on the mountains, but he doesn't go to get God's word. He speaks it as God to the people. he does for them directly. He's not a mediator like Moses was, who goes up to find out. Jesus is God, and so he's a greater Moses, the perfect Moses, because he's not a go-between. He is God and man, and he's come to bring the final salvation, the final feeding, spiritual, physical. It's all in his power to do, and that's what this lesson is helping us to see, those connections.
Is this miracle of Jesus pointing us forward to how he now feeds the church with his own body and blood?
Well, you know, I guess there's some debate about that amongst scholars that are, what does this whole John chapter 6 even deal with? But I don't think you can look at this and not see the connection to him as the bread of life, as the one who at the Passover institutes the Lord's Supper. Here he feeds earthly hungry souls, physical empty stomachs, and in his Lord's Supper, with his very body and blood, he feeds spiritual hunger, spiritual starvation, and he provides a never-ending feast, rich beyond our any imagining, always there, always ready for us in his word, in his body and blood, given and shed for us, for our salvation. And of course there's a connection, and we want to make that for the children, because all of these things point to that, to who Jesus is for us for eternity. And in that feeding, the Lord's Supper, we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. Our true needs are met. Our eternal needs are met.
Finally, then, is this like, in some ways, like another famous story often told in the Sunday school classroom of Jesus making the man who is lame and brought to him, lowered down through the roof, to walk, where Jesus connects his ability to do a lesser thing, that is, or at least in the minds of the people, they think it's a greater thing, but it's actually a lesser thing in Jesus' mind, that is physical healing, or in this case, feeding many people, with his ability and his willingness to do the greater thing, that is forgive sins.
Well, I think that's always what Jesus is trying to do. It doesn't come out here. The people don't quite get that. The text tells us that they say, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world, so they get the prophet part. But then it ends with perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. That's an earthly king. Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And so they miss the point again. But we know, because Scripture tells us in so many ways, in so many places, that that's what these miracles were about. They met a momentary need, but they were really pointing to his ability to do this greater thing, to save people from their sins, to forgive sins, to give spiritual food for all eternity. But as they did so often, they miss it here, and he has to keep treading on with the message all the way to the cross.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It is Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call for some free samples, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask about growing in Christ. Pam, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Well, when we come back from the break, we've got audio open lines for the remainder of this first hour of the program here on this Monday afternoon, the 1st of March. Came across this story about a church. Nothing remarkable about a church nowadays doing a sermon series on sex, even the risque kind of sermon series on sex that have become standard fare on Sunday morning for so many churches. So many people walking into church are as likely to hear one in a series of sermons on sex as they are to hear about Jesus. And The need, we hear, is because the church has been silent on sex and now it's time for the church to say something. Do you agree with that? There's a church that is not only running the sermon series on sex, but they're also out on their lighted marquee flashing every couple minutes the phrase desperate sex lives and sex lives. And this church is located right across the street from an elementary school. And you can imagine some are upset. We'll play the story for you on the other side of the break. And then I want your reaction, audio open lines. How would you react if your church were, number one, running a sermon series on sex, but number two, advertising it in this way, even across the street from an elementary school? Do you think it's necessary? Do you think the church has been silent on sex and needs to return to the subject and have something to say? If so, is this the way to do it? If not, why not? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Audio open lines live this Monday afternoon, March the 1st, on the other side of the break and for the remainder of this first hour. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's an edgy and provocative billboard campaign going on in the state of Georgia. Next to a picture of a black child are the words, "Black children are an endangered species." The campaign's designed to create awareness. The abortion industry targets the black community. Over three quarters of all Planned Parenthood abortion mills are located in predominantly black or Hispanic neighborhoods. A black woman is far more likely to get an abortion than a white woman. In the black community, the number of abortions is getting very close to the number of live births. The billboard campaign seems to be working. There's been quite a bit of public discussion about the points I've just mentioned. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org if you'd like more information.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.